Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life, a program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Deborah McFarland is a motivational speaker, author, minister, musician, singer. She uses her knowledge of God's Word, her education, and her business expertise to challenge individuals in maximizing their potential. Now, Deborah, welcome to LifeQuest.
Thank you so much. I am so happy to be here.
And with all this experience and all this education, have you ever had a single person ask you, whether they're divorced or never married or widowed, Deborah, what's wrong with me? Why am I still single?
Of course. Many, many people ask that question. And, you know, I mean, of course, there's no one solid answer for that because everyone is different. Everyone's situation is different. What I typically will say to a single person is, first of all, is it your real desire to get married?
Mm-hmm.
I do have a very close friend that is, she's 51 around there. And she would, you know, call me occasionally and say, would you please pray for me? I want to get married. And 2 days later, she'd say, I don't want to get married.
Yeah, stop praying.
And so I think sometimes, you know, people are not always, you know, they haven't made up their minds that they really do want to get married. Other times, the right person they don't feel has come along. And sometimes I think people are fearful of maybe seeing other relationships go sour and they're afraid to pursue.
Let me tell our listeners about the book. It's called To Have and to Hold or Not, Wisdom and Insight to Choose the Right Mate, What You Need to Know to Build Your Marriage on a Sure Foundation. Dr. McFarland, why did you write this book at this time?
Well, first of all, my husband and I have been in ministry for about, you know, over 30 years,
uh-huh.
And we've actually had the opportunity to counsel many couples and many single individuals on this topic. And I just over the years have come to find out that, you know, there are a lot of things that people don't know about relationships. I can even speak for myself. My husband and I, we just celebrated 34 years of marriage, but the first 6 years for me was just like a recurring nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were so many things that I experienced. And it was primarily because of a lack of knowledge of biblical principles that relate to relationships.
I remember a number of individuals who either had been married several times or had a series of disastrous relationships. And I once said to one lady, if you're attracted to a man, you might want to run the other direction. If you're not quite sure, he may be the one for you. She seemed to have bad judgment. And yet was a highly successful person in her career.
Yes, that can happen. You know, I talked about this a little bit in Chapter 3,
okay.
The chapter that I wrote to women. Sometimes, and this can happen to a man, it can happen to a woman. If you have suffered any type of abuse, even if you feel like you've been mistreated, maybe
mm-hmm.
the person didn't, you know, offer forgiveness, or that is still an issue that's really still, you're still bleeding on the inside from that. A lot of times when we have been in an abusive relationship or something like that, we tend to attract the same type of people.
Uh-huh.
Abusers are attracted to people that have been abused. And that are not healed. And so a lot of times, you know, we have to really begin to look on the inside of us and say, what's inside of me that's causing me to attract a certain type of individual?
Have you noticed that sometimes people go through all kinds of situations, and yet they seem to wait so long to get outside help, or they feel that we can handle it ourselves?
Yes, most definitely. You know what, I think that a lot of times people don't know who they can trust.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want their business all over town. They don't want, sometimes they can be embarrassed, they can feel like they're stupid. But you know what, none of us are born with a list of rules of what to do, or even not just not rules, but I mean just a manual of just like what to do, what not to do. We learn as we go along, and a lot of us make a lot of mistakes in the process. I know I made a lot of mistakes, and that's one of the reasons that I decided to write the book. I was hoping that I could, you know, share some insight on some things that I had no idea about when I said I do.
In the early part of your book, you actually start talking about our love relationship for God, or God's love to us.
Yeah.
Why did you start that way?
Dwight, when I married my husband, I was pretty much a new believer.
Okay.
I loved God, but I didn't know that much about him.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've come to learn over the years is that the Bible says for us to be imitators of God.
Right.
When I began to, first of all, understand that God loves me unconditionally. He loves Deborah, whether I messed up. He loved me when I was doing well. He loved me when I messed up.
And, yeah.
You know, he just loved me unconditionally. I began to learn that I could love my husband unconditionally.
Hmm.
And that, you know, what is talked about in 1 Corinthians really explained to me what the love of God really was, as opposed to what I saw on television or in the media.
Page 24 of your book, you call it Love 101,
mm-hmm.
and it's 1 Corinthians.
Yes.
What is there in that written so long ago, also, folks, by someone who had hated deeply until he learned to know the Lord, and then he could write the love chapter. But mm-hmm. what are some of the things in here that really can make a difference in principle?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, you know what? Okay, let me just be real specific. Charity suffers long. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, charity
right.
suffers long and is kind. It's not envious. It's not puffed up. So in how would that translate in a relationship? That means that when I would get ready to blow up at something maybe that my husband said or did, I might, if I've been meditating on this, then I would remember, you know what, Deborah, don't blow up. This mm-hmm. is going to be okay. Love suffers long and is kind. In other words, let's be kind. Let's be long-suffering about this. Let's have a positive attitude that this is going to work out. I mean, that's just a simple example. It's not puffed up. I'm not going to be, you know, in a relationship, a husband or wife should not be high and mighty and looking down on the spouse as if, you know, they're nothing, or just because they made a mistake, they're stupid, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
things like that. You know, so love is not prideful.
In over and over, it seems from some of the questions that you've learned people ask, the misconceptions people have, there seem to be a lot of us that have real insecurities in our lives,
mm-hmm.
and they become, what, barriers?
They can become barriers. It depends upon how people handle them.
Mm-hmm.
Insecurities, a lot of times, because getting back to the love of God, Dwight, if you and I come to God and we really have spent time, you know, with God, we have some history with God, we know that we can just come and say, Lord, you know what? I have really messed up, or I don't understand this. This is an area that I'm strong in. You already know all these things, God, but this is another area that I'm weak in, and I really, really need you to help me out with this. You know, and so we know that we can come after you've, you know, accepted God as your Savior. You might understand that you can come to God like that, but again, practicing the same love of God with your spouse, you should be able to come to your spouse and honestly say, honey, you know what? I really don't have it all together in this particular area. I need your help. Can you help me? Can you be patient with me? I'm trying to work it out. I'm trying to figure it out. And not feel threatened, not feel like, you know, the person is not, your spouse is not going to love you anymore,
uh-huh.
or that there are going to be some major repercussions. Again, it's getting back to, you know, having unconditional love for one another.
One of the points that you say have been brought to you by a number of people is, well, you know, if the if the real me were known by this person I'm interested in or by my partner, I don't think I'd be accepted. I've got a lot of skeletons. And that brought up another question. Mm-hmm. How much should you share with the person that you are married or hope to marry about the past chapters in your life?
That is an excellent question. Personally, I feel that you need to be very transparent. Mm-hmm. However, I think that you need to be led by the Lord as to the right time to share. You know, if you are very new in meeting somebody and you have a lot of skeletons in your closet, I wouldn't on the third date just go ahead and, you know what, I mean, this and that happened. And,
right.
You know, you need to be able to have some history with your fiancé or with the person that you're considering marrying. And hopefully you've shared, you know, secrets with your spouse before you got married. If you don't, you're going to have to just ask God to, you know, help you to come straight, to touch your spouse's heart, and to give you the grace to deliver it in a way that they can receive it. And just, you know, I mean, you'd have to apologize, really. I mean, because
yes,
some people have, like, some big skeletons that they should have
right
talked about before they said, I do.
We've said in the past, well, you know, Hollywood movies, music talks about love, but it's not a very deep love.
Right.
And yet I read a survey the other day about someone did a study of current popular music that maybe mostly young people are listening to. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, in the last couple of years, the word love is hardly ever mentioned. It's all about body parts and mm-hmm this and that and the other. That's kind of a scary transition.
It is. You know, Dwight, I wrote another book, and I really didn't push it that much, publish it that much. I'm going to republish it. But there was a couple of lines that I was inspired to write, and it goes like this. Love gives and is fully rewarded. Lust takes and is never satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, and I'll say that again because it really, it blesses me, too, every time I hear it. Love gives and is fully rewarded. Lust takes and is never satisfied. And so what we see, you know, on television and the movies is just sex, sex, sex. Everything is sex. And, of
right
course, there's a very important part that sex plays in marriage. But today, people just jump in the bed. They don't take the time to develop relationships with each other. They don't take time to become friends. They don't ask each other questions. They have no idea about a person's desire, their destiny. I mean, just mm-hmm nothing. They just, like, if you look good on the outside and the music is right, the setting is right, we're just going to go for it. And, I mean,
right,
they're just missing out on so much because there's so much more to life than sex.
But let's go to the other end of maybe of this spectrum, and mm-hmm that is, here's some listeners. They've been married for 15, 20 years or so. They've got kids, maybe a bunch of them at home.
Mm-hmm.
They're both working hard, and they have a fear. In fact, they have a reality situation going on. Look, I'm too tired to have sexual relationships,
mm-hmm,
and the kids come first, and they're frightened because of what that might mean to their relationship, especially in contrast to all these other people they see on television and in movies that have boundless energy.
You know what? That is a great question, Dwight. And my husband and I have had three children now. We have two grandchildren. We've been in ministry, traveled the world. I mean, I seriously understand busy. What I will say to you, though, it is so important to take time, to schedule time for your spouse, for you all to schedule time together.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to a conference one time, and one of the pastors said that they actually put time for being intimate with their wives on the calendar. I mean, they were like, we just have to put it on the calendar.
Yeah.
And so we don't let anything come before that. And you have to think about long-term relationships. You know, my children now, they're grown. We have one daughter that is at home. But, you know, when they began to leave home, we did not feel like strangers to each other because
mm-hmm
we have made it a priority to spend time with each other, you know, intimately, but also, you know, just talking with one another, having fun, you know, just staying in tune with each other. And that way your relationship can grow and it can thrive over the years.
Something grabbed my attention on page 68 of your book, which, again, friends, if you've just tuned in, I'm talking with Dr. Deborah McFarland. She's written a book, To Have and to Hold or Not. It's about relationships, about being single and looking forward to marriage, or if you are married and some of the issues that come up. Most of our listening audiences are probably deeply committed Christians, and they are used to asking God about to show them the way, the truth in their life, to solve problems and that. But you say often they ask God to show them the truth about some situation, and when he does, they ignore it. What's happening? What's happening there?
Why, that is so important. You know, I think a lot of times people get desperate. I mean, they get desperate about wanting to be in a relationship with someone.
Yeah.
And so when God begins, and they're like, Lord, I want to serve you. Please don't let me, you know, meet the wrong person, or, you know, I just want a real man of God. I want a real woman of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when they begin to see the warning lights come on,
yep.
when they begin to feel uncomfortable in their spirits about what they're seeing, a lot of times they say, you know what, I can change him. I can change her. You know what, I'm just not going to pay attention to that. And we need to always pay attention to the Holy Spirit. I heard a minister preach a wonderful sermon recently on listening to the still, small voice. There were a number of things that happened in his life, some good and some not so good, because sometimes he ignored the still, small voice. So we just have to always remember that we can trust God and we don't have to be desperate. He will give you the spouse that you desire, you know, if you'll just wait on him.
But that future spouse may not be as ideally perfect.
Oh, most definitely.
As one hopes for. Now, look, I've got this 20-year-old daughter. She's off to college. She can't hear this. And I hear about these different friends that she has, these different boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the big drama, tragedy, soap opera when it breaks off. And then she comes to Dad and talks about, I saw this red flag or I saw that red flag. And yet at times it's the fellow that's breaking it off. So would she have broken it off if that hadn't happened, even though she saw these red flags, you see?
Yes.
And yet she says, what happens when I'm 30 and may not be married? And I said, yeah, well, life moves on.
Yeah, you know, sometimes God will give us some help. I mean, if mm-hmm. we don't heed what the Spirit of God is telling us, he'll allow situations to come in
yes.
to save us from ultimate disaster, which is really his mercy.
Which is true.
Working yeah. in our lives.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just, first of all, to answer your previous question,
uh-huh.
none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
Whatever marriage occurs, you're going to have to, you know, employ these principles. You're going to have unconditional love and patience and all of these things. But, Dwight, one of the things that I really thank God for is an assurance that all of us can have in our hearts
mm-hmm.
that the marriage can work. I hear so many people saying, oh, if it works, it might not work. And I said, you know what? You need to throw that away, because the marriage institution of marriage will always work when we follow the Word of God. It'll work. I mean, you're going to have some rough rides.
Right.
Because two becoming one, you know, is not always the easiest thing.
Yeah. I teach a Bible class in a parochial ninth grade class in school, and I gave them a copy of the premarital test that I give to people who come to me for that.
Okay.
And it was interesting to watch this small class, boys and girls, taking that and the questions. Why are you asking this? What? Because many people don't ask it until way into the marriage, and it's been difficult. It's amazing what people in love don't talk about.
Yeah, you're right, because you know what, when the stars are in your eyes,
yes.
like the old saying says, love is blind, you know, until later, until after you say I do.
Well, it's true. And just some basic things. Yeah, I want to have kids. Well, how many? Well, all of a sudden you find out that she has one idea and he has another.
Oh, yeah.
And about when and about working after marriage and all these issues. Or religion isn't a problem for us, but maybe it is if they have a different faith-based background. One chapter here, chapter 7, the grace to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
To forgive what? Things in the past or each other or what?
Everything.
Okay.
I just think that we have to, and I don't just think it, I know that we have to just live a life where we're always quick to forgive, you know. And Dwight, one thing that really helped me with this, and I talked about it in the book, was that, you know, after a few years of marriage, I began to really understand that the intent of love is always to bless. And that a lot of times when I may have tended to think that my husband, oh, you know, the devil will tell you, oh, he just meant to hurt you. Or whatever. You know, it was just that he didn't even understand that what he was saying wasn't,
yeah.
You know, I mean, or what he was doing was hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't his intention to hurt me. It's just that he was still getting to know me, and I was still getting to know him. So I think a lot of times miscommunication or lack of communication occurs, and we get hurt, and we, you know, can tend to carry these things with us. But we want to guard our hearts at all times and just let forgiveness be a lifestyle.
The book is To Have and to Hold or Not by Dr. Deborah McFarland. Deborah, how would you like people who purchase this book to use it?
You know what, Dwight? I would love to see people teach these principles, first learn them. I have a friend that read the book, and she said, you know what, I'm going to read this book every year.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Word of God, of course, when we read the Word, we continue to get more revelation. But I think that if we are really serious about building godly families and leaving a godly heritage, that if we would learn these principles, walk in them, teach them to our children and grandchildren in a way that they can continue to teach them and walk in them, we can really develop some strong families, you know, for the kingdom of God. And that's what I would love to see. I'd love to see this book discussed around dinner tables and, you know, just for the people that are Christians, that we don't fall just for whatever the world has to offer us in terms of a relationship, but that, you know, we stand for what the Word says and that we're happy about it, excited about it, and are able, like I said, to do exploits for God because we are walking upright before Him.
Where can our listeners get a copy of this book?
It's exclusively available right now on my website, and the website is the name of the book, www.tohaveandtoholdornot.com.
Dr. McFarland, thank you so much for being with us on LifeQuest today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Dwight Lainhoff. Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee 37930.